Well, as you see there on the back panel of your bulletin, and as you kind of saw from the presentations of the Bibles, I'm going to give you some guidance for the graduates. And I was specifically pointing to and referencing you two guys. But while the specific and immediate application may go to the gentleman here, I think all of us can apply it to our lives, for the principles are the same in whatever station of life we find ourselves here today. But Michael and Javon, truly, from the bottom of my heart, individually and personally, I want you guys to be rich. I really do. I want you to be rich in your relationship with God. I want you to be rich in such a way that, as Colossians talks, you can cash in on all the treasures and wisdom that there are in Christ. I want you to just be rich in your quality of life. I don't want you to be going through life just we're just hanging in there, you know, whatever it is, you know, que sera, sera, laissez-faire time of life. But I want you to enjoy life, just not to endure it. I want you to have like an endless credit line of joy. I want you to truly be able to experience on a daily basis what Jesus said there in John 15:11, where he says that my joy may remain in you, and that my joy and that your joy may be full. Michael and Javon, I want you guys to be rich in relationships. Just within the various brothers and sisters, within just your various roommates that you find. And then ultimately, one day, in finding the woman that God has for you. And when that day comes, which probably hopefully won't happen anytime soon. When that day comes, though, I want you to again enjoy the wealth of developing and working towards and striving to maintain a biblical marriage. I want you to be rich in the amount that God gives to you by way of material things. I want you to be rich in the things that God can entrust into your stewardship. In fact, I want God to give you great resources so that these resources can be used to change hearts and lives, bringing people together into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But I want you guys to have money serve you. I don't want you to serve money. Because again, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You can serve God or you can serve money, but you can't serve both. I want you to be rich in treasures that you young men now are going to be working towards, as you have done in the past, but will continue in the many years ahead, to store up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust are not going to corrupt, thieves are not going to steal it, and it's just going to be reserved in heaven for you. And then lastly, I hope that when we get to heaven, I can kind of be down just the hallway a little bit. And when you stand before God, I hope I can hear the echo of God's words. Well done, Javon. Well done, Mike. Good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's what I wish for you. So you guys are done. You can go home. Can you think of a place in the Bible where there was kind of a graduation day? Can you think of a place where there were similar desires put upon an individual that I've kind of given true desires of my to Mike, Golan, Javon? Let me give you a couple clues about this graduation day. Starts out something like this. The person in the Bible, and you here today as well, these two young men have endless opportunities ahead of them and us. The person in the Bible, as well as us here today, have an opportunity to create and to carve out our own identity. They're no longer going to be under the coattails or the apron strings of mom. You guys are going to go off and start your own life. This person in the Bible and you today are going to be making life-changing decisions, which is going to impact you and future generations. This person in the Bible and you today will determine the role of God. What is the role of God that's going to play or have in my life today? And then both this person in the Bible, as well as us here today, have the opportunity to enjoy the riches that God has for us. This graduation, as you can see by the bulletin, is in Joshua. I think it's very similar. Here you've got a man, relatively young, I guess. Depends upon which side of that age you're looking at. He has been a servant now for Moses for over 40 years. In fact, you saw that there in the first verse of chapter 1. It says there, Moses' servant. So he's been Moses' servant for 40 years at least, and they've been wandering around in the desert. Moses is now dead, and now it's time for Joshua to graduate, if you will, to be the leader. To be the leader of the people, as we find out, he's only got 3 days for a kind of a crash-cramming course of Leadership 101, because then in 3 days he's taken the armies into the Battle of Jericho and to take the Promised Land, and they do the northern campaign and the southern campaign, and they basically spend a great deal in battle taking the land that God has promised for them. A land that, as God described, was flowing with milk and honey. A rich land, a bountiful land. But there's a couple conditions. Again, you can see there in verses 7 and 8 that there's some conditions. But these conditions, we can see the principle applied to many, many people throughout both the Old and New Testament. And the principle is basically this. If you obey me, what's going to happen? Yeah, you got good days ahead. Now, you disobey me, then what's going to happen? Yeah, not so good days ahead. And we've seen this pattern happen over and over and over again. We see it in Romans 2, 9 and 10. Romans 2, 9 says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there's going to be internal struggles, there's going to be external struggles. But you know what verse 10 says? But glory, honor, and peace upon every soul of man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And verse 11 says, for there is no partiality with God. We see that even from the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, if you guys obey me and don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, days are going to be good, and we're just going to have a good time. But if you eat of it, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And there's going to be some problems. So I think, though, where I'm going to be addressing some of the graduates here in the time remaining, it's very applicable to all of us here. It's that cause and effect relationship. If we do what God asks us to do, there's the blessing of God. If we don't do what God asks us to do, well, life is much more difficult. So what I want to do is I want to begin with the commands of what God wants you two men to do. Okay? As you heard Joshua chapter 1 being read, the successful conquest of this promised land was not contingent upon the military tactical genius of Joshua. As we read Joshua chapter 1, what was going to be the key for success? Obedience to me. If you guys obey me, then I will go ahead and I will give you the land that I promised you. But you need to obey me. Point A on your bulletin, or as we come to chapter 7, he says this. Only be strong, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, in order that you may prosper wherever you go. So again, Michael and Javon, that's a good verse. That ought to be one of your life verses. You ought to tattoo, I don't know, on your Bible cover or something, on the inside of your eyelids when you go to bed at night. You see it there all the time. If you don't deviate from the Bible, if you don't go to the left hand, if you don't go to the right hand, then it says there that you may prosper wherever you go. You can truly live a rich life. Goes on to say, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, in order that you may observe to do according to all that is written in. Period. Next sentence. For then, and again, notice the way it's written there, and maybe your translations may have a little bit more of a causative and perfect verb, but it has the idea of then you will make your own way prosperous, and then you will make your own way successful. So here's what we need to do. First of all, the book of the law is not to depart from your mouth. Being younger, you guys still have teeth that don't come out. As you get a little older, you may have teeth that you remove from your mouth at night. But your teeth are always constantly with you, and you use your teeth sometimes without even knowing it. You have it, you use it. just regular use of your teeth. And that is exactly what the Bible should be to you. The Bible is continually there with you, and your Bible is continually being used out in everyday practical life. This idea of shall not depart is one of these verbs that's never realized the action. It's unrealized action. You just continue to do it again and again and again and again. For some of you ladies, it's just like washing clothes. Is there ever a time in the house where there are no dirty clothes? It's just never realized. It's always just continual. You just got to keep cleaning and cleaning. Or guys, I didn't mean to be stereotypical. How many of you guys do the laundry and are proud of it? One. Oh, here we go. One, two, three, four. Okay, boy, I thought maybe that was a stereotypical comment, but we do have about a half a dozen of guys who aren't ashamed of it. There may have been a few guys. I don't know about that. But the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, just as your teeth never leave you, young men, just there constantly, using it all the time. It goes on a little bit further there and says, shall meditate. Here's a command that, you know, pertains to what we're thinking about, our contemplation. Man, there's many things that we can, there's many things I've been thinking about here. A couple of weeks from now, as you know, Rob and I get to fly out to Sacramento to hopefully see our brand new grandbaby. It's not born yet, but God has that window of opportunity where we're there, where it really needs to be born in that time frame. So you heard that, right, God? Just 15th to the 30th, that would work out really nice. If not, we get to spend some time with our daughter and our son-in-law. And that does have a passing thought in my mind throughout the day. And I could easily consume my thoughts with that. Which, by the way, we were up at Cabela's the other day. And we bought the coolest thing for the grandbaby. It's a camo hat. Okay, now even though if you're not hunters, you'll like this. It's an infant camo baseball hat. On the top of it, it says, it's hunting for hugs. Oh, isn't that sweet? As there may be some baby thoughts bumping around in my head, you two young men and the rest of us need to have biblical thoughts bumping around in our head. We are to meditate on it, as he says, day and night. True biblical Christianity is not just something we come to once a week. There was a time I used to go and play pool a lifetime ago. And we'd show up at this place at a time and we'd play pool, and I had my own pool sticks and we'd shoot pool, and I'd fold up my cue or take down the cue sticks, put them in the bag and throw them in the car, not to touch them again until the next week. And then we'd get there and we'd pull out the cue sticks, put them all together and shoot, and then take them apart and put them for the next week. That's not what biblical Christianity is. Biblical Christianity, as you see it here, is it needs to be in our thoughts day and night. And it's just not another activity we put on our calendar. It's part of our very life. We need to do it day and night. And I've used this illustration before, but it's kind of like chewing gum. I grew up back in the tough times as well, and for Christmas we would get the orange or a piece of gum or whatever it is that sometimes we kiddingly tell the older folks. But we'd get our piece of gum and we would chew it and we would chew it and we would chew it, and then you know what we did at the nighttime when you had to go to bed with your gum? Some of you know, we would not throw it away. Put it on the bedpost, man. Because then when you get up the next morning, chew your gum again. Some of you are laughing, but how many of you did that? One, two, three. Okay, we got quite a few. So some of us knew the harder times of life that I grew up in. We couldn't afford to throw it away like my wife is saying, well, I just threw it away. But in any event, it's just like chewing that gum, man. You just chew it, chew it, chew it, chew it, chew it. Pull it off your bedpost the next day, put it in your mouth and chew it, and chew it, chew it. So too is the Bible supposed to be that way. Here, let me just give you an example of what I mean. We spend a great deal of time in Philippians chapter 2 where we are to be esteeming others better than ourselves. I hope that thought just has not come and gone over one sermon a couple months ago. I hope that when you wake up in the morning, you're thinking esteeming others better than yourself. When you got a bunch of family members fighting over that bathroom, I'm hoping there's esteeming others better than myself. When you're going for breakfast and you grab the cereal and then you grab the milk and there's only about that much milk, well, maybe I'll have something else and let somebody else have the milk. You see what I'm saying here? This is shall not depart, but you meditate on it day and night. When you're getting up this morning, getting ready for church, are you esteeming others better than yourself? Driving in the car, wouldn't it be great if the other drivers esteemed us better? Well, that'd be nice. I could get into that. But now this afternoon and this evening, I mean, realistically, there may be some laundry that still needs to be done. So who's going to do it? Well, I'm going to go watch the game, hon. You take care of the laundry. Or how about this? I'll do the laundry, and you go take a nap. Or you could go watch the game. Here's some topics for contemplation or meditation. I think we need to be thinking continually about self-denial. That is one of the identifying marks of Christianity. Jesus said, if any man will be my disciple, let him come after me and deny himself. We need to be constantly contemplating self-denial. Serving others is huge. This entitlement mentality is going to ruin our nation. It's not about what you can get. Remember Kennedy? Ask not what... How many of you remember that? It's a couple, again, a half a dozen. Don't be asking what your country can do for you. Be asking what you can be doing for your country. And we need to be doing the same in our homes, in our relationships. It's not what can I get, but what can I be giving to the various relationships that I'm in. Our work ethic. Man, that would be good. We've got some employers in the church, and again, the work ethic has changed dramatically over the last 20, 30 years. Even the definition of a good employee has changed dramatically over 20, 30 years. But if you and I would continually meditate on Colossians 3, if nothing else, the last chapter about being a good work ethic, you would make your way prosperous because your, I don't know, employment, corporation, bosses, they'd want you. Because it's truly hard to find good help nowadays. Peer pressure, the fear of man is huge. And our life would be much more prosperous if we would fear God much more than we would fear men. If we'd be far more concerned what God thinks of us than what people think of us. Emotions. Emotions aren't necessarily evil in and of themselves. God created us with them. But can we trust our emotions? Should we trust our emotions? What does the Bible say about our emotions? We need to be meditating on these day and night. Our money, our motives, marriage, parenting. Now, let's go a little bit further into verse 8. He says that it's not to depart from your mouth and you're to meditate on it day and night so that you can observe to do all of it. Observe to do all. You know, that's kind of a lot. Back then, if you remember, right after the Exodus, Moses goes up to the mountain and he gets the Ten Commandments, you know, the tablets, and then he destroys them and then God rewrites them again. But also, even within our Bibles, you've got all of Exodus and then Numbers and then Deuteronomy, all the civil law, all the moral law, all the ceremonial law, in addition to the Ten Commandments were given to these folks. And he's saying, listen, as you get out into this new land and start your new nation, your whole society infrastructure, follow what I've told you to do. And you and I, we need to do that as well. The word observes is one of those, again, unrealized actions. You're just to continually observe it, continually watch for it, continually to do it day in and day out. Basically, as we look at it just within our context here, it would be you need to not let the law of God depart out of your mouth. You need to be thinking about it day and night so you can be the man that God wants you to be, that you can be the woman that God wants you to be, that you can be the employer or the employee that God wants you to be, that you could be the husband or the wife or the parent that God wants you to be. Again, this is not just to gain all kinds of knowledge so that we could win Bible trivia contests. We're dealing with life here. We're dealing with relationships. Relationships and lives are on the line, ours included as well. We want to know the Bible. We want to obey the Bible so that we can accurately, as Pastor Jesse started us, almost an hour ago, we don't want people to be looking at us. We want people to be looking at our God. We want to be demonstrating to truly a lost and dysfunctional world what successful marriages look like. We want to display to the dysfunctional, lost world what happy homes and friendly families and even loving those little years. Kind of a neat book we picked up. Loving the little years. Is that it? Loving the little years. Now, rather than doing other things with them, how can we love them? Well, we want to demonstrate to the world salt and light. We are unique people. We are peculiar people. And it shows in the way we manifest our lives in different ways. So therefore, then, you must also obey what the Bible teaches about self-denial, what the Bible teaches about serving others, what the Bible teaches about work ethics. We must obey. What it talks about peer pressure and emotions, we must obey. Money, motives, wisdom, counsel, marriage, parenting, we must observe to do all of it. Here's the biblical consequences. All right? You've given us quite a hard task. We're all gamblers. What's in it for me? What's the payoff? If I give this much, what am I going to get out of it? Well, he kind of gives us that answer there in the bottom of verse 8. The next sentence, he says, "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." You know, you could translate it literally, "You will then continually cause to make your way prosperous." You will continually cause to make your way prosperous. Now, contextually, remember, we got, you know, a million plus people standing 3 days' journey from the Jordan River ready to go into Jericho. So contextually, what he's saying is, if you will do what I ask you to do, and again, he puts them to the test. How did they destroy the city of Jericho? The catapults, gunpowder, F-18s, right? What did they do? Walk around it? And they walked around it, and they walked around it. And on the seventh day, they walked around it a whole bunch more times. And then they hollered and screamed and made a bunch of noise, and that was it. But now, could you imagine, okay, we're going to beat this city, we're going to womp on this city, and Moses or Joshua says, the first day, just walk around it. Okay, we're doing reconnoitering. All of us, though? Like, really? Okay, we'll all walk around the city. All right, second day, we get our swords, we got them all the whetstone, you know, they're super sharp, shields are shiny. Let's go do it! No, we're going to walk around it again. Once? You see where we're going with this? But God is again proving to them, say, listen, if you will obey me, test 3 days later at the Battle of Jericho, if you obey me, you will have good success. Now, if you don't, well, we also know the good and the bad of how that played out. The land was theirs, and it was going to be given to them. It was finally promised if they obeyed. And then capital B, you will have good success. You will continually cause for yourself good success. Again, what this means in the context is you are going to drive out the enemies. You are then going to be able to sit down and enjoy this land that is flowing with milk and honey. Within our context here today, it would sound something like this. By knowing and obeying the Bible, we will bring good success, a prosperous life to us as we engage in self-denial. Self-denial will bring us a prosperous and successful life. Serving others, how would that play out in our relationships? It would bring us a prosperous and successful life. I already mentioned work ethic. My goodness, if you're there early, work hard, not engaged in all the drama, not engaged in all the politicking, honest, able to solve conflicts, able to communicate, problem solving, all those personal plus the technical, academic skills, the world is yours. Defeating peer pressure. Oh man, what a horrible chain that is for some, as they are always wondering about these people in this room. I don't know, what do you got, 70, 80? You know, all these people, I wonder what they think of me, and I'm trying to make him happy and trying to make her happy, but I can't make them both happy, so just make God happy. Just make God happy. Dealing with emotions biblically will bring us a prosperous and successful life. There are so many people who have allowed over time their emotions to control them. And while they're good servants, they're horrible masters. Money. Wow, there are people who have to live for money. they've gotten themselves in such a situation where they must serve money. They really cannot serve God. And the economy hasn't helped much with that either. Just working hard at creating a biblical marriage, biblical relationships will bring us much pleasure. There will be little pain, but it'll be little pain. Graduates, I realize, and those of you here today, that this promise was given in the Old Testament to the children of Israel. And I know we're not living in Old Testament times, a different dispensation, and I know we're not children of Israel. Let me just retract that. I am not. We do have people, at least one for sure, who's full Jewish in blood and heritage, but I am not. But God makes similar promises to us today as Gentiles in the New Testament as well. Let me read them for you. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man all the things that God has prepared for those who love him." Not exactly the same vocabulary between Joshua 1:8 and 2 Corinthians 2:9, but the message is pretty much the same. Here's another one in Ephesians 3:21. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "For this reason I bow my knees to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory," and here's what he says, a couple things, "to be strengthened with might in his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ with passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever. Amen." But God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man all the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And then we'd add that other qualification from Joshua 1:8, and obey him. And obey him. The law is to be with us just as our teeth are in our mouth. As we use our teeth throughout the day, and sometimes it's just a habit. When you go back home today in just a little bit and you pull out your great lunch or your leftovers or go out to eat, are you going to be thinking bite, chew, up, down? It's just a habitual process. That is what this Bible is to be to us. The law is to be ever constantly in the forefront of our mind, just like chewing gum. We don't even think about it sometimes. We're just chewing, 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 chewing. Observe to do all of it. We never go off duty being obedient to the Bible. You'll never finish your spiritual growth here on earth. If we do this, God will then allow us to make our way prosperous, and then we will have good success. So, Siobhan and Michael, don't forget this sermon. Don't forget Joshua 1:8. I even referenced it in that fly leaf of your Bible as well. So you will not forget it. If you do it, you then will make your way prosperous. And then you will cause yourself to have great success. And the same is true for the rest of us as well. And you know, the beautiful thing about it is, we may not have done such a good job in the past, but this is the day that the Lord has made. We can start today. Again, we have the law of the harvest, and with this I am done. We have the law of the harvest, and many times we use it in a negative way. Well, you are now reaping what you have sowed. It's still time to plant another harvest. We can again start today with planting seeds that later on this fall we can reap. So no matter whether we're just starting out with a new chapter in life, graduating from high school, going and grabbing the world by the tail, or Whether we want to start a different kind of relationship in our marriage, within our family, within our children, within our parents. Whether we want to start a different kind of work ethic. We don't want to be so afraid of people anymore. We want to control our anger or tempers, whatever they are, or emotions. Today is that day that we can start planting new seeds. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me give you just a moment to contemplate what we talked about here in Joshua 1:8.